Did everyone welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together, so appreciate your desire. Especially with us, so many appreciate that. It's always not only to appreciate your presence today, to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but also to involve yourselves with us as a congregation in giving our worship to God. And also, there is an outline of this morning's lesson in the bulletin, so I kind of ask brethren to look around. If you didn't receive one, please share. You can get up and go get a bulletin if you'd like, but just don't keep going. I know there's a donut shop. No, I better not say that. You'll get up and go. But close by. In the text that was read to us, Joshua, who is the leader of God's people going into the promised land, has asked them to make a resolution. He's made one for himself and his family. He said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." Well, the people followed that, responded, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods." So they kind of made a resolution. And this is the time of year when resolutions seem to be popular. If you're going to make a resolution, as it says, you're going to come to a decision. If I resolute something, I'm going to set a goal. I'm going to aim at a stated purpose. I'm going to make a determination. I'm going to make a formal statement of my intent. This is what I'm going to do, or my intent is this year. It means to be firm or fixed on an outcome. This is the anticipated goal of my heart's desire. I'll make a resolution. I'm not going to talk about the typical ones we make this morning, such as a diet, you know. But I did see in the newspaper. I read the newspaper. As Clarence said in one of his Bible class lessons, he says, "I study the Bible, but I read the newspaper." Or the comic. He said comic books, I think. But these two people are talking. One of them has a big bowl of ice cream or popcorn. The other one said, "I thought you made a resolution to go on a diet." I said, "I did. But you can't start a diet on New Year's Day, because everyone snacks during the parades and the games. And you know, also, it takes a few weeks to finish off the holiday goodies and leftovers. You know, and then comes Super Bowl. Then there's Valentine's Day. There's Easter. I really never start my diet, resolution till after Cinco de Mayo." I'm good with that. You know, I can, that's okay. This lesson this morning, I saw years ago in the front page of a bulletin by my friend Taylor McKenzie. And he just listed 10 things on the front of his bulletin. I said, "Well, I like that." So instead of preaching a traditional resolution like, "Oh, we need to make a resolution to attend the worship more often, or maybe read our Bibles more diligently," or typically, "I need to pray harder, and or maybe give more." But I read that list, I said, "I like that." He titled it, instead of resolutions, he says gifts. Some gifts that all give. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to take a look at these. And he said, "That we'll make our lesson for that. We'll turn them into resolutions." Number one, keep a promise. Keep a promise. He uses the verse in Matthew 5, verse 37. Jesus said, "Let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatever is more than these comes from evil." The message is, and the verse is stating, says that we need to follow through on what we say we will do. We need to make our word. There's the old phrase, and I remember that as a child, you know, your word is your bond. You know, and that should hold true today too. If I say I'll be there, then we need to be there. Or I'll help you with that, then let's help. And one should not have to make a promise and then seal it with, you know, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Well, why? I always wonder when they say that, why a stack? Isn't one good? just swear on one Bible, that'd be a stack. But just let your word be your bond. It means that you can be counted upon to do what you said you would do. So that's a good resolution. I'm going to keep a promise. Number two, let someone have the last word. He gives the verse in James chapter 1, verse 19. He also says, develop the skill of listening. But James 1, verse 19 says, my beloved brethren. So here, that something's for us. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So Brother McKenzie's comment was, develop the skill of listening. And I think I can understand that. Now, sometimes we exhort one another when we're talking to them. We say, you need to listen. Or we may even put it in the form of a question. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we say, I know you heard my words, but you didn't listen to what I said. Well, in the verse, in the James chapter 1, be quick to hear. In the context, when James is addressing these brethren, he says you ought to be anxious to hear God's word. James is addressing the context of his brethren's relationship to God. And so when we say we need to let someone have the last word, we need to be quick to hear, and God, what do you have to say to me? The next phrase was slow to speak. And so the context is, be slow to speak back at God. Be slow to show your displeasure to the teachings of God's word. God, I want to be quick to hear what you have to say, but slow down if you think you want to talk back to him, especially in disagreement. Slow down. Quick to hear, slow to speak. And then the last one, slow to wrath. Meaning, don't be hasty in being angry at God's word when what he's telling you is the truth. Quick to hear. Slow to speak back at God. Slow to wrath and showing your anger or displeasure at what God said. He says, let someone have the last word. So we need to develop that skill, a proper response to God's word when it's preached or when it's read, and let God have the last word. That's the resolution. Or that's the gift that we can give. Number three and four kind of go together. Number three is listen to a child. Number four is listen to an adult. Yeah, I want to do that. When he says listen to a child, he said the Lord does. Matthew 18 verse 5, it says, and whoso shall receive such, or one such little child in my name receives me. Oh, receive a child. In Mark 10, verse 16, it says, he, meaning Jesus, took them up in his arms, the children, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Is it okay to bless the children? It sure is. Bless the children. I know when our two grandsons visit, I tell you about my grandsons. I have a granddaughter now too, or we do too. Brand new. But when our grandsons would visit us or we visit them, you know, they'd run to the door. And typically when they got to the door, they have a toy in their hand. Something is in their hand. And they can't wait to tell us about it. So even though we may have luggage in hand or something else, you know, it's when they come and run to us, they want to hug us and tell us about a toy, you know, drop that luggage, stoop down, hug them. And what do you have in your hand? They can't wait to tell us. Stop everything else. Oh, yeah, by the way, son and daughter-in-law, good to see you, but grandsons. Tell me what you have. What is it? How does it work? Oh, bless the children. Take time to greet the children in the congregation. Listen to them. Learn their names. Yeah. I see Eli and Evie back there. Yeah. I'd like to see them. I see Doyle's grandson. Jordan. I see Faye and Orby's great grandchildren. Mason, Lily. Learn their names. When you see them at the end of the worship assembly, don't just pass them by. Stoop down. Greet them. Let them know you're glad they're here. Thank their parents for bringing them. Oh, listen to a child. Listen to a child. That's a gift. Number four is listen to an adult. Brother McKenzie said, you may learn something. I don't think that's an insult. Now, at least not from the verse he used. You know, he quoted the verse in Acts 10, verse 33. At least he referenced that verse. Here's what the verse says. It says immediately, and Cornelius and the Apostle Peter are getting together. They've been in two different locations, and God's called them together. So Cornelius says, immediately, therefore, Cornelius says, I sent for you, Simon Peter. And you've done well to come. Yeah. Now, therefore, the verse says, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded you of God. So listen to an adult. That's the verse Brother McKenzie said. So he said, there's a time for us to listen. Kind of similar to the situation we have this morning. You know, in this worship assembly, I've come. You've come. We're all here together to hear a message from God's Word. To learn. My task is, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, to preach the Word. And so we are here, just like Cornelius said to Peter, we're all gathered here to hear the things that are commanded you of God. So when we gather together, we've come, and this part of our worship assembly is to hear a lesson that's been for me, that's been prepared by me to present to you. Listen to an adult. We have our Bible classes too. So number three and four, you listen, take time to listen to a child. Take them up in your arms. Listen to an adult. Number five is let someone in line. You had to add in front of you. Oh, I have to have a resolution for that. Oh, I have to make a determination. I can let people in line. Right here, I'll move up so you can get in line. He said, in front of you. You know, it doesn't hurt to be kind, does it? It's appreciated. I always appreciate it when someone lets me in line. That's happened to me. I've been at the store, maybe only have one, two things in my hand, and someone else has right in front of me has the grocery cart. And I've had a lady or two say to me, oh, would you go ahead? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm not in a hurry. Oh, please. No. So I said, okay. Someone can't give unless someone receives. So I just happen to be on the receiving end of that one. But I know she wanted me to get in line in front of her. So I try to do the same. unless I'm on a crowded freeway and somebody zips up the side when I'm car number 20 in line, you're not getting in front of me. I'm getting right on the bumper. No, Christine, don't be mean. Let him in. After I honk twice, you know. No, I don't. That's somebody in line in front of you. In front. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love is very patient and kind. So this gift that we're to give, this resolution, is to display good manners to another. It's to go a second mile, as Jesus said. It's to do more than what's expected. It's, you know, we want to add a little more to what we do. Let someone in line in front of you. Number 6 is keep a secret. Oh, he just gave a verse without comment on that one. He says, keep a secret. James 3, verse 2. But James 3, verse 2 says, for in many things we offend all. Yeah, in a lot of things we offend people. But if any man offend not in word, that the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So he's saying, keep a secret. There'll be a time when we just need to, you know, there's some go like this to you, zip a lip. You know, or bite your tongue. Don't say it. Put a clothespin on it. I know someone told me a secret recently, and then they added, this is not for publication. Then why'd you tell me? I can't keep a secret. Doyle, I'll tell you what it is if you can keep a secret. Keep a secret. I heard a kind of poem form. Someone said, if your lips would keep from slips, 5 things observe with care. Of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how and when and where. Yeah. Observe that. If your lips would keep from slips. The 5 things observe with care. Of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how and when and where. Keep a secret. Number 7 and 8 go together too. Number 7, say something nice to someone you like. Well, I can do that. Number 8, say something nice to someone you don't like. I don't like them. Why would I say something nice to them? But number 7, easy, to say something nice to someone you like. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good, yes, say that. That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Don't say something nice to people you like. Brother McKenzie added, you want to encourage someone, to strengthen them. Say something nice to someone that's maybe fallen down so that you can lift them up. Say something nice. Say something nice to someone who's weak so you can make them strong. So it's a gift that we can give to another. Say something nice to people you like. Easy. Edify means to build up or lift up or to inspire hope in another or to cheer them up or to support them. Yeah. So say something nice to someone you like. Oh, but the next one. Say something nice to someone you don't like. All right. Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everybody or every man. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, this I say, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust thereof. In Galatians 5, verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. So you have this side of me that says, you know what? I'm not saying something nice to them, that fleshly side. This fleshly side of me says, you know, I don't like them. You know how hard it's going to be for me to say something nice to them? I'm mad at them. I'm not even going to talk to them. You know, when I see them coming, I cross the street. And now you want me to give a gift that says, say something nice to somebody I don't like? Yeah, that's the godly spirit. And that's the message, isn't it? Let your speech be always with grace. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number 9, smile more and frown less. Smile more. Someone said it takes 18 muscles to frown. Try to frown. See how hard that is? You have to work at it. I've got to put all these muscles down. And smile. Well, that was easy, wasn't it? Smile. Brother McKenzie said, a pleasing disposition will draw others closer to you. Of course, I'll add to that, also makes other people wonder what you're up to. You start smiling too much. What are you up to? In Ephesians 4, verse 31, it said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Wow. So the gift that I want to bestow on others, resolution, is to make our speech more loving, gracious, uplifting. The last one, number 10, is give people your best. Somehow the best will be returned to you. So this gift to others, according to Matthew 7, verse 12, you know it as the golden rule. Jesus says, therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Ooh. So this gift of doing to others and giving your best to others is not just merely a good idea. It's the law. It's a heavenly message. So when we behave badly to others, do we really want them to treat us that way too? You really want that? To have them treat us in kind. When I've misbehaved, I want you to misbehave toward me. Really? Is that your conclusion? Where's the best gift? Resolution to make is to become a Christian. If you're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian, you haven't been baptized for remission of sins. There's a simple plan or formula, a procedure, if you will. I'd like to use several different words. Ingredients, steps. We simply outline them this way. Number one, in order to become a Christian, you have to hear the Word of God. That kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14, how can you believe in Him whom you've not heard? So you have to hear. That's necessity. That's sensible. You have to hear. And then when you hear, you'll want to believe that message. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. So I'm going to hear God's gospel, the good news of John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave a Son for me. And I want to believe that. Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. I want to believe. Well, then there's a third step, and that's repent. And Jesus said it also. In Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. Well, I don't want to perish. I don't want to die in my sins, and I don't want to perish. So I'm going to turn my life around. Then number 4, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian stops Philip's sermon on Jesus and says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe, you may. And the Ethiopian made a confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. Philip said, stop the chariot. And then they were baptized. They both went down into the water. Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. I always say salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. So there's a simple plan or steps or formula or ingredients that complete the process of one becoming a Christian. And then from that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation we extend. You're subject to it if you have not done those things already. We can accomplish that this morning. We're going to think of some encouragement. Let's stand together at this time. Dennis will make his way to the front. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to follow that simple plan, we can do it. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we can accomplish that also. So let's sing this song. Need to respond in a public way, just come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song.